Well, and join you guys and love joining you rather and just singing and hearing you lift your voices to the Lord. You know, what's that passage? The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And so we enjoy the presence of the Lord as we get together and do that. I want to continue to turn our attention to what God wants to share with us this morning through his word. And so if you will, turn in prayer with me, and we'll dive in here in a minute. So let's go to the Lord now. Father, would you sanctify us in your truth? Your word is truth. Open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things in your beautiful word. What we know not, please teach us. What we have not, please give us. And what we are not, please make us. All for the glory and praise of your dearly beloved Son, who lives with you and reigns with you, together with the Holy Spirit, one God, forever blessed and forever praised. Amen. We are going to turn our attention this morning into a little bit more practical aspect of our series of essentially sharing the gospel. So I want to start this morning with a question about our prayer lives. And we're going to see this morning about how prayer is intricately connected to our sharing of the gospel and living the gospel out. So if you have your phones there, see some of you already doing it, take your phone out, scan this QR code, and we'll do this again at the very, very end of our service. But right now, let's answer this one question about prayer. Because if we're going to begin our journey into sharing the gospel and really understanding that the gospel is lived, it's going to start in prayer. If we're going to pray for our lost friends and family and neighbors, one of the things that we've got to do before we do that is actually have a prayer life. And so I kind of want to just gauge the read the room here a minute and see how we're doing with our own prayer lives. So the question here is, how would you describe your prayer life? And with a overwhelming majority, a sense of, I could pray more often. I feel that. Without ceasing. So we've got a couple of you that are awesome, walking with the Lord, kind of this just without ceasing. It feels weird, I hear you, and only at meals, a couple of you there expressing that. Appreciate the honesty there. What we're going to do over the next few weeks is walk through a word called bless, and it's been created by a couple of pastors to help Christians live more outwardly focused lives, intentionally trying to live and share the gospel. And the word bless is going to be broken down for us over the next few weeks with B, this morning, begin in prayer, L, listen, which we'll explain in the upcoming weeks, E, eat, S, share, or serve rather, and then finally the second S is share. How do we actually share this good news? So we're going to begin in prayer this morning. But my point is, we won't evangelistically pray for the lives of others if we're not praying at all. Or if we're only praying, which I feel it, only praying at meal times. Paul's words this morning out of the passage that we're going to look at literally addresses both. Addresses our prayer life in general. And then he actually asked them, I want you to pray for me evangelistically. And we're going to model what he asked for that church to pray for him about, and it's going to empower our prayer as we move forward. So let's dive in this morning and see what God has for us. So we're going to be reading out of Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. So hear the word of the Lord this morning. Paul says at the end of this letter, devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it. The it is prayer, with thanksgiving. And at the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of your time, Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. The word of the Lord this morning. So I want you to see there's general teaching on prayer, aspects of prayer, and then he's asking them to pray this kind of missionary, evangelistic prayer over us, and we're going to take that prayer, we're going to make it our own as we break it down. So this morning, I first want to kind of just address prayer in general, and you can never say all that you want to say about prayer in one teach, but I want us to look at this word devote, because I really love that Paul uses this word, devote yourself to prayer. Devote. Devote is, really, it's a relational word. This is more than be consistent in prayer. That is true. Paul would tell us to be consistent in prayer, but this actually is deeper than just a consistent practice. Paul is saying something relationally here. This is not just stick to the rhythm or discipline of prayer. This is devotion. There's a heart connection. I want you to hear out of devote or devotion. There's this heart connection to this consistent discipline. So it's not less than consistency, it's just deeper than that. This is commitment and connection. Think about what you say about couples who have been together a very long time or lifelong friends. You say, man, I look at that relationship and I see that they are devoted to one another. It's not just that they've stood with one another for so long, it's something a little bit deeper than that. What do we even call our time with the Lord? Our devotional time. The word devote is intimately relational. And I love that Paul connects this relational word with prayer. Most of us view prayer as something to do, a checklist on a spiritual list of things we have to do, and usually it's something that we don't do enough of in our minds. So Paul is saying, yes, keep a commitment to prayer, but keep the connection to prayer. It's more than a practice. It is a presence that we're after in prayer. Brother Lawrence, maybe you've read this little thin book, I believe somewhere in the 1600s, and he wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And he talked about his life being an unceasing prayer life. Even when he's washing dishes for others and doing these meaningless things, he is practicing the presence that prayer invites you into. It's exactly the picture that we're going after. Jesus modeled this commitment, but also this presence when it came to prayer. If you read the Gospels, there's an often repeated phrase, he often withdrew to be with the Father in prayer. It was a practice and a presence and devotion to prayer consistently puts you and I in the practice that gets us in the presence of God. So when it comes to praying evangelistically for the lost, this actually might be your first step, just getting together with the Lord. Just getting together with the Lord beyond our mealtime prayers. Just getting to the Lord even beyond the awkwardness that it feels. This might be our first step in praying for the lost, is just praying in general. And when you get into the presence part, the invitation of prayer that Paul is even hinting at with this word devotion, his prayer begins to be this place where you can unmask everything about who you are, about what you're feeling, about what you're going through, about what you did, about what you didn't do, about what you should do. It's the place where you can unmask that in front of a loving Father. That's the practice of the presence that Paul wants us to get to, especially when he's using this word, devote yourselves to prayer. And in prayer, again, we can't say everything that there is to say about prayer. But in prayer, as you unmask and you just get alone with God and you receive His love, it's the place where you start to ask things, isn't it? That's mostly what we think about prayer, is asking of God, asking God of things. And when you think about asking are expressions of our desires. So prayer is the place where you unveil your desires before the Lord through asks. Through you talking and you asking, Lord, I need this in my life. I'm asking for this for this person. In doing that, you are unveiling your desires. Prayer is the place where our desires are exposed, where they're unearthed. And there are times where your desires in prayer are in complete alignment with the Father. Praise God. That's the goal. That's where we want to get to. But there are times when your and I's desires are out of alignment and need adjustment. Christ Himself modeled and prayed this. He prayed this, His desires and His submission to the Father's plan, when He prayed that the cup might pass. But at the end of the day, He said, "But not my will, but yours be done." At the core of Jesus' desire in His devotion to prayer was to be in alignment with the heart of God. It's why one of the most important questions that Jesus asked people was, "What do you want?" I'm not haunted in a bad way, but in a good way, by that question of Jesus going up to someone with a withered hand and saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" As if it were that obvious. But what Jesus is always doing with those questions is He's probing the desires of your heart. What do you actually want me to do for you? What do you want? And I bring that up when it comes to prayer, because hopefully prayer is going to get us down to what we're asking for, and our askings are going to reveal our desires. And really what I want to get down to is this one question before we move on. Do you really want to join the Lord in remaking the new creation world or not? Like, do you really want to see lost people come to know Christ as King in their lives? Do you really want the gospel to spread beyond you and yours to the world around you, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to your friends? Do you really want that? We have to get down to the core of our desires, because at the end of the day, if we don't want it, I can tell you all the practical stuff about how to share. I can tell you how to get into relationships in order to share. But if you don't want it, at the end of the day, you're not going to move beyond this. Apart from what we talked about last week with this gospel health and gospel flourishing, I think the question revealed in prayer and being devoted to prayer boils down to this: do you really want it? I think that might be the most important thing that's going to close the gap between you and I knowing the gospel and you and I sharing the gospel, is this very question: do you want it? And in prayer, that gets wrestled out, that gets brought out, and the Lord can work with you as you really get honest about your desires. He not only says devote, bring this relational connection to prayer, but He also says stay alert in it. What do you have to stay alert to? What do you have to be vigilant with? What do you have to be watchful for? You have to be watchful when things when things are bound to go awry. Those are the things you have to be watchful for. Those things by nature are easy to take our eyes off of. Those are the things that you and I need to stay watchful about. So when Paul says stay watchful, stay alert in prayer, it's because prayer becomes elusive. Prayer becomes second hand. Prayer becomes rather on the back burner so often in our lives. What are the things in your life that are easy to take your eyes off of that you need to be careful and to be watchful about? For me, little kids running around, it's easy to keep your eyes off of them. How many times does something happen and somebody else, whether it's a spouse or a friend or somebody else, says, you know, you should have what? You should have been watching. You should have been keeping your eye on those little guys as they're running around. Every one of my kids, all three of them, have their own "they got left at church on a Sunday" story. Because I didn't keep my eyes on them because I was distracted with other things and got in the car without them. And since I want to be an equally offended person, I did it for all three of them. Because kids are, and that's prayer. How many of you, seriously, by raising of your hands, how many of you ever committed yourself to more prayer, but 6 weeks later found yourself kind of almost back to where you started? Anybody? Or am I? Okay, I thought I might not be alone. Why? Because prayer is just one of those things that it's hard to keep our eye on. So Paul says, not only devote yourself, relationally be connected to it, but also, come on guys, stay alert with it. Pay attention to it. Prayer is hard. I remember being in a real sweet season of prayer early in the life of this church. The co-founding pastor and I were just, man, we would literally just spend, you know, just a lot of time regularly in prayer, and it was just easy, and we were praying for all these things. I remember telling a mentor, I was like, man, we're in a season of prayer that this is never going to go away. We are going to ride this prayer thing. Like, and he was like, man, that's great. I love that you guys are experiencing that. He said, what's the plan when the wave crests? I was like, no, man, I'm going to be like this. He's like, that's great. What's the plan when it's not as easy? And what he was saying was, Cliff, stay alert. And sure enough, the wave crests. If you don't have good disciplines and good rhythms and good encouragements, then it's so easy for us to let prayer kind of slay away. But listen, you and I aren't alone in that. Jesus' own disciples couldn't stay alert. Same word. Stay alert with him and pray on the night in which he was betrayed. So we're in good company, is the point. One quick tool before we move on to kind of evangelistic prayer, kind of praying for the lost. One quick tool that might help if you find yourself needing a little encouragement in prayer is to think about three directions. Up, in, and out. Could you spend a few minutes a day upward in prayer? This is God. Here's who you are. I'm reading a psalm prayerfully. I'm proclaiming the greatness, your love. I'm taking one of these songs that we sing, and I'm just kind of repeating the chorus or the phrase. I just want to get upward, and I want to recognize who you are in your goodness. Could you spend a few minutes doing that? Could you spend a few minutes kind of considering and probing your own heart? God, here's what my needs are. Here's what I'm going through. Here's what I'm feeling. Here are my desires. Are they in alignment with you or not? Could you spend a few minutes kind of that internal prayer? And then could you spend a few minutes outward, both praying for, you know, the lost that we're going to see here in a minute, but also just praying for others? Praying for, as that song sang, the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Could you spend a few minutes locating things that are outside of you that are not like the kingdom of heaven and begin to close the gap in prayer? Could you do that? Could you spend 3 minutes in each of those sections? And next thing you know, you're praying for 10 minutes at a time now. And maybe that gets a little longer. Not that longer is always the goal, but could you devote yourself to this? Could you stay alert if you had a framework like that? Simply think about those directions, up, in, and out. All right, as we shift from up, in, and out in general, Paul actually in this passage shifts from general prayer to how do we pray for the lost around us? Did you hear what he said? He said this, and I'm going to frame it in the same framework of up, in, and out, even as we think about evangelistically praying for others. How does Paul get upward in this prayer? He says, at the same time, pray for us that God, so he's acknowledging that God may open a door. In doing so, he's saying, God's the only one who opens doors. This is where we start by praying for the lost around us, is God, you got to do something that only you can do. You draw people to yourself. You open up doors of opportunity. You soften their hearts. Those are things I can't do. And so when we evangelistically pray for those around us, we're first praying upwardly. God, you got to do the work. I can't make any of this happen. Only you can. And I know so many of you do this. So many of you faithfully are praying for grandsons, for nieces and nephews, for your own children, for your friends. And I know that your prayers are this. God, would you please wake them up? Would you please shake them up? Would you please open their heart up? That's right to do that. This is that upward prayer evangelistically. And then Paul shifts into kind of what we would consider this inwardly prayer. What does God want to do in us as you and I, as we pray to share the gospel with those around us? And I want to break these couple verses down for you. The first one is to speak the mystery of Christ. So in other words, God opens the door, you and I walk through it. That's our role. We can't always force the door, but when he opens it, when he opens an opportunity for us, our role is to speak. Our role is to step into the opportunity that God is opening for us. This is very much an inward thing. And before you step out, maybe you need to be praying more. God, would you get me ready to speak this message? Would you get me ready to give me eyes to see the opportunities and boldness to walk through the doors that you open up for me? So God opens the doors. We walk through them and we speak. What do we speak? We speak the mystery of Christ. Now that might sound weird. Why are we telling other people a mystery? Isn't a mystery meant to be hidden? Well, the way that we use the word mystery is, yes, it's something that's hidden. But the way that Paul is using this word mystery is, hey, there's great news. This isn't a mystery anymore. This has been unveiled. In chapter 1, verse 27 of the same letter, Colossians, Paul says, the mystery of Christ is that Christ is in you. That now the door for the gospel has been opened to the entire world, not just the God's special people of the Old Testament, but now all the Gentiles are in on, that's the mystery. It's not like it's something that's hidden. It's something that has very much been made known. So really, the mystery of Christ is just another word or another phrase for the gospel, the good news. That God has opened the door for all people. That's really good news for you and I. Listen, there are so many obstacles to sharing our faith and to sharing our story and to sharing the gospel. God's heart is not one of those obstacles. He has made the mystery known. He has opened the door. He has done everything necessary for the ethnies, the different ethnicities of the world to know Christ. We are in complete alignment with him when we step into that. And we begin to share this good news. So he says to speak. This is all inward things, man. Can you pray that I would be more of a clear speaker of the mystery? Can I know more of the mystery of the gospel? For which, Paul says, I am in chains. Paul is currently in jail as he's writing this. So this is this prayer inwardly that God, I would be about your gospel in all circumstances. Paul is in jail, in chains, and he is praying not for doors to escape, but doors of opportunity to share the good news. And if Paul can pray in chains for people to know Jesus, then you and I can share in our cubicles this good news of Jesus. We can share to our neighbors in complete freedom in an environment, in a society like we're in. Like, we got this is the point. That's not a guilty thing. If Paul can do it, you should do more. No, this is like, we can do this. And maybe we should pray more that God, you would use every circumstance in my life to share the gospel. I think some of us feel like we can only share the gospel when we're on like cloud 9 and like things are going great. Some of the best gospel sharing is when you and I are in the valley and we're honest and open with those around us and they see a hope that lies within us, even though it's a broken hope, even though it's a sad hope at the current season. And if we will just be honest and open to sharing that, that is something powerful. Don't wait to share the gospel till you're up here on the mountaintop. Because the gospel is not just good up there, it's good down in the valley as well. So in all circumstances. And then he says, here's his prayer that he's praying. Verse 4, he's praying that he might make it known. It is the mystery of Christ. It's the gospel. He would make it known. This is an interesting word because there are times when Paul says that I might preach the gospel. And when he uses the word preach the gospel, it's a specific message. Here he's saying, I'm asking you guys to pray for me that I would make known. Making known is a little bit different than preaching. Preaching is a very clear message. Making known isn't a planned, canned presentation. Making something known is the right word at the right time in the right way with the right situation. It's a unique way of taking the good news of the gospel and applying it to that situation, because that's the word that needs to be said in that moment. And Paul is saying, I want you guys to pray for me that I would make known the gospel in these different circumstances. And the last thing that Paul prays internally for is that in verse 6, we see him say, so that you may know how you should answer each person. This is very reminiscent to 1 Peter 3, verse 15, when Peter says something very similar, that he wants to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Paul is asking this. This is part of the prayer that inwardly we would be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. There's two things I want to mention really quickly about that. We spend a lot of time talking about evangelism, of getting ready for the word. The question, though, is who's asking us about the hope that lies within? So we're ready to fire off our answer. The problem is no one's asking for you to give them that. You see that? Peter says, be ready. I want you to be ready in season, out season. He says, I want you to be ready to give a reason, an account for the hope for those who ask. Who's asking? So the internal prayer might be, God, would you cause me to live in such a way? Cause me to do work in such a way? Cause me to do my yard and my neighborhood in such a way? Cause me to be at the playground in such a way that people are asking about this hope, not because I'm so good, just because you are, and if you're in me, then that there should be something about the way that I'm responding, something about the way that I'm living, that people might say, like, hey, what's going on with that? And they're not going to maybe specifically ask you in that way. Like, I would actually not suggest you wait around for people to say, can you give me a reason for the hope that lies within you? But you begin to hear people say, and you'll just hear that question kind of emerge in different forms and different ways. That's that inward prayer, that you and I would be ready and willing to walk through the doors that God brings to us. And then finally, if we've already prayed upward, God, would you open the doors inwardly? God, would you prepare me, get me ready, help me to live in such a way? Finally, this is the prayer that we're praying outwardly. That we, and this may be more internal than anything, but that we would act wisely towards outsiders. First off, that we would act. That word act is to walk, to live. First off, that we would actually be around outsiders. You see that we can't act wisely whom we're not around. And sometimes Christians get in our holy huddles and like you're just with Christians 24/7. And it's like, hey, I get it. But goodness gracious, break out of that a little bit for the sake of the gospel. Let's get out of our holy huddles a little bit and act wisely among unbelievers. Think about, we've talked about this before, but think about the areas of your life where you work, where you live, where you play. Somewhere in these spheres of where we do life, there are going to be lost people. There are going to be people that need hope. There are going to be people that are without Christ. And the prayer is that we would live wisely. He also says, making the most of the time. And I think it really speaks to that wise living. Making the most of every opportunity. Do you really think God has put you here on this earth to work a 9-to-5 job in some, what you might consider random business or random thing, just to go home, check out, and to do it all over again? Do you think that that's what life is about? No. Life is about so much more, and we have a little bit of time that he's given us on this opportunity. Live wisely. Whether you're working, live wisely. Wherever you're living, live wisely. Wherever you're playing, live wisely. I think I love this season of the year when kids' sports are going and there's all-day events out on the ball fields and the courts on a Saturday. I know some preachers, I hear videos of them like ranting and raving to their congregation. Your kids shouldn't be in sports. They should be in church all the time. And like, I get it. Like, we're not going to sacrifice our families for sports. We're not going to sacrifice church for sports. But like, what an awesome opportunity for Christians to invade the sports kids world out there. For dads and moms to be coaches of their little peewee leagues, and to help out the coaches, to be team moms and team dads, to get involved, to actually show up and be present and be like, if you have a hard time getting around lost people and you put your kids in sports, like, you're gonna be around them. I say, do it, go for it, like, live wisely and whatever it is for you. Man, I was even thinking about the kids thing, like, as you're out there trying to live wisely about it, bring your discipleship group to the kids' game on a Saturday. Like, let other people show up, and then the people around you, your teammates, are like, hey, why, do you have that big of a family? Like, why are all these people? Like, no, that's just my church showing up to watch little Johnny miss and strike out for 3 hours on a baseball. Like, I get it, but like it's not always enjoyable. But man, can you imagine the witness? You guys have showed up at a lot of our kids' games. And it's really great for me to turn to my friends and say, yeah, these are our church people like here. They don't have to be here. They're choosing to be here to support. Live wisely. Live creatively. And then let your speech always be gracious. You know, a lot of people are known for talking. Don't be that person. But be known for the person that's like, man, I don't think I've hear that many cross words come out of that person's mouth. I don't ever hear them like bashing other people. I don't ever, like, man, I'm just saying, like, what a great way to be, easy way to be a witness is to watch what we say when we're out and about. So I wonder this morning if we could not just talk about prayer and teach on prayer, but what if we modeled prayer for the next few minutes? Kind of carved out some time in our service to take a few minutes to actually pray upward, inward, and outward. And I've got specific prayer prompts, and I've got some time. I'll time it for us, and we'll just spend literally 2-3 minutes on each one. And again, for those who say this feels awkward, yeah, let's embrace that, and let's push through that because the Lord has something for us. So this morning, I want us to first pray upward. And as we pray upward for the next 2 minutes, I want you to pray that God would open doors in your life to show you where He is already at work, to help you see the opportunities where you work, live, and play. And so go before the Lord now and get upward in your prayer, asking for those doors to be opened. Why don't you spend a few minutes talking to the Lord about that? Here we're asking God to do something that we can't do ourselves. We can't make the opportunities happen. But God can, God will. It's what we're here for. I guarantee you, the more you pray for doors to be open, the more you're going to start looking for them. Shift our prayers inward. Spend just a couple of minutes. I wonder what the Lord wants to do in us this morning. To change us in order to orient our lives more around the gospel, more around the great mission that you put us here on earth for. So on one hand, we pray for God to open doors. Like, on the other hand, let's pray now that we would walk through them boldly, clearly. Or even clumsily. And if we're walking in a clumsy way, Lord, that you would help us get our feet under us if this is something totally new to us. pray that we would speak the gospel. We would respond with our speech with grace. Pray inwardly that this church becomes a people facing outward. Now for our remaining time as we pray out. I want you to look back up and take your phones back out. And we're going to pray for some people specifically that you know that don't know Jesus. And so this next QR code question is just going to ask you to put a first name. You don't do first and last. Just a first name of somebody that you're praying comes to know Jesus. We're going to spend a few minutes praying over the names that are curated in this room this morning. And you can do this more than once. I believe it'll refresh itself if you have two or three names that you want to. But maybe there's a niece of yours, a grandson or daughter, friend, neighbor. Let's just fill this space this morning with names of people that we are wanting to share the gospel with, people that need Jesus. Hearts and lives. I'm going to give you another few seconds to fill this out before we just pray corporately over these names. Pray for their hearts, pray for opportunities, pray for boldness, and pray for clarity. See the names up here. I wonder if we couldn't just pray now for the next couple minutes over these names. And you call out in your own heart specific names that the Lord would open up these doors for us. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, these are names, God, of people that we care about deeply, people in our lives. Lord, as much as we care about them, Lord, you care infinitely more, so much that you have sent your Son, Jesus, to live, to die, and to rise again on their behalf, God. And I just pray that you would open their hearts and minds, their eyes, to see the goodness, the clarity of the love of God through Christ. I pray that you would give us, your people, the opportunities, Lord, to give witness in word and in deed to these people. That maybe even an opportunity this week to speak something, to take a step in a deeper relationship in some way for these people. Lord, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would empower us as we look outward to embrace the very reason we were put on this earth, to give witness to you. So we lift up these names, we lift up their hearts before you. God, we pray that you would open the door in a way that only you can. In Jesus' name.